Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Following is entitled Letter from Camp. Dear Mom and Dad, we're having a great time here at Lake Typhoid. Scoutmaster Webb is making us all write to our parents in case you saw the flood on TV and were worried. We're okay. Only one of our tents and two sleeping bags got washed away. Luckily, none of us got drowned because we were up on the mountain looking for Chad when it happened. Oh yeah, please call Chad's mother and tell her he's okay. He can't write because of the cast. I got to ride in one of the search and rescue jeeps. It was neat. We never would have found them in the dark if it hadn't been for the lightning. Scoutmaster Webb got mad at Chad for going on a hike all alone without telling anyone. Chad said he did tell him, but it was during the fire, so he probably didn't hear him. Did you know that if you put gas on a fire, the gas can will blow up? The wet wood still didn't burn, but one of our tents did, and some of our clothes. John is going to look weird until his hair grows back. Scoutmaster Webb is a neat guy. He's a good driver. In fact, he's teaching Terry how to drive, but he only lets him drive on the narrow mountain roads where there isn't any traffic. This morning, all the guys were diving off the rocks and swimming out in the lake. We took a canoe across the lake. It was great. Scoutmaster Webb isn't crabby like some scoutmaster. He didn't even get mad about no life jackets. Guess what? We have all passed our first aid merit badges. When Dave dove in the lake and cut his arm, we got to see how a tourniquet works. Also, Wade and I threw up. Scoutmaster Webb said it was probably just food poisoning from the leftover chicken. I have to go now. We're going into town to mail our letters and buy bullets. Don't worry about anything. We're fine. Love, Cole. P.S. How long has it been since I had a tetanus shot? Reading the account of Paul's journey to Rome, it seems that everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Acts 27 portrays the dispensation of grace and shows that it will not be all smooth sailing during this dispensation. These are stormy, challenging times for the church. Acts 27 verses 5 to 8 read, "And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia." As we looked at last time, the journey to Rome by Paul is a picture of our current dispensation. The boat is a picture of the body of Christ. The wind is the satanic power and demonic forces. The water is the nations of the world. And the water is influenced by the wind, by Satan and his demonic forces. After sailing under the protection of the island of Cyprus from the contrary winds, the ship Paul was on that was taking him to Rome then turned west and proceeded with difficulty against the westerly winds along the coasts of Cilicia and Pamphylia. As Paul sailed by this area, he was looking at home. He had family there. As Paul said in Acts 21:39, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia." Early in his ministry, according to Galatians 1, we learn that Paul went to Cilicia. We can be sure Paul attempted to reach his family with the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul sailing by Cilicia should remind us about our family members who need Christ and how we need to be a loving witness to them and be faithful to share the gospel. Finally, they come to Myra, a port city of Lycia in what is southern Turkey today. The trip from Sidon to Myra was a distance of about 400 miles. Here in Myra, they changed ships. Knowing that this ship was bound for Adramyttium to the north and would not take them any closer to Italy, Julius needed to find another ship. and he found a large grain ship from Alexandria, Egypt, which was bound for Italy. Egypt was at that time known as Rome's breadbasket, as Rome depended on Egypt for much of its grain supply, so it was not odd to find this type of ship en route to Italy. And according to verse 37, it was a big ship. The boat was large enough to carry 276 passengers. As they set out, the strong winds again hinder their progress, so that many days were required to cover a 130-mile distance from Myra to Cnidus, a city that was at the southwest tip of Asia Minor, or modern Turkey. Here the wind did not suffer or permit them to continue sailing west, so they turned south to sail under Crete, or to again use the protection of land from the wind. They come to Cape Salmone on the eastern extremity of Crete, and hardly passing it, it says, or with great difficulty, they rounded it and worked their way around the island, using it as protection, finally struggling into Fair Havens, a village on the south side of the island. That strong wind hindering Paul again reminds us of the resistance to Paul and the truth of God's message of grace for today by the satanic rulers of darkness. Paul taught the church, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We are in a spiritual battle, and Satan and his demons war against the truths of grace, trying to do anything to hinder it and us, the church, from making it known. The demons, like the devil, are not flesh and blood, and Paul says we wrestle, and our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not on a physical plane, but on a spiritual plane. We are in a spiritual battle against, and we have a spiritual enemy. And they don't rest as they fight to hinder the gospel of the grace of God and the truth of Christ and Him crucified. And they do anything in their power to discourage us and to cause the church of God to lose our light and lose our testimony. This strong wind causing the boat Paul was on to struggle to make progress is a picture of the fight for the body of Christ to move forward in this dispensation of grace because of satanic pushback and resistance to us in the spiritual battle. Acts 27:9-12 reads, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest." Arriving at the port village of Fair Havens in southern Crete, a decision had to be made whether to winter there at Fair Havens, or try to reach the port of Phoenice, up the coast of Crete, about 40 miles away. Verse 9 says that much time was spent waiting in vain at the Fair Havens for a favorable wind. So much time was spent there waiting that sailing became dangerous as they had entered the stormy season for sailing. Now a decision had to be made quick. Luke records in verse 9 that the fast was now already past. This fast refers to the Day of Atonement, meaning that it was now late September or early October. Sailing was difficult from mid-September to mid-November. It was impossible from mid-November to February, and they just entered the difficult time of year for sailing. Paul was a seasoned traveler, as we know from his missionary journeys, and he offered his advice, and his advice was that they not try it. Paul had already experienced 3 shipwrecks by this point, so he was speaking from experience. And when it says perceive in verse 10, When Paul says that and that he perceived, it means to perceive from past experience. Paul explained that he could see that this voyage would meet with disaster and loss, not just to the cargo and ship, but also in the loss of life. The factor for the decision of whether to winter in Fair Havens or in Phoenice up the coast was that Fair Havens was not a comfortable place to settle down for a period of time and winter in, because the harbor was too open to the winter storms. Phoenice, on the other hand, had a more sheltered harbor and was a more comfortable place to winter. And besides, their thinking was that it's only 40 miles away, and surely they could cover that distance safely. Now, grain ships were considered to be in government service, so the authority rested ultimately in the hands of the centurion, Julius. He consulted the captain and owner of the ship, who advised him that they should not stay in Fair Havens. So Julius decided that it was worth the risk, and he sided with the captain and owner of the ship to make for Phoenice.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute, but first we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Saved from What? Is an 18-page booklet transcribed from episode 58 of our program, Transformed by Grace. Written and taught by Pastor Kevin Sadler, president of the Berean Bible Society. The Bible talks about salvation and people being saved. But what does it mean by this? What are we saved from? What fate awaits you? The single greatest way we show love and concern for others is to share the gospel with them. This booklet is a great way to put the gospel in written form into the hands of anyone and everyone. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. This message is also available on DVD.
To receive our free full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Notice, though, how the centurion believed others, as in how it's put, more than those things which were spoken by Paul. This is something that has happened often and still takes place in the dispensation of grace. The church has listened to other voices, other opinions, followed the commandments and traditions of men and church leaders, and believed them more than those things which were spoken by Paul. The authority of the Word of God is often displaced and pushed to the side by what men want to believe instead. But the church, the body of Christ, needs to follow Paul and heed the wisdom and counsel of God revealed to and through him. We need to follow and obey what Christ teaches us about his grace and his will for this current dispensation found in the epistles of Paul. Here we see men rejecting Paul's counsel and believing others. Earlier in Acts, we learn about another reaction to the phrase, those things which were spoken by Paul. Acts 13, 44 to 45 reads, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." Not only do people believe other things more than those things which were spoken by Paul, they also speak against them. There is resistance to Paul and to his apostleship and to the message committed to him. For example, many reject Paul's gospel of pure grace by faith alone in Christ. Many reject that idea and want to include things like water baptism, or that you have to repent and turn from your sins to be saved, or you have to make Christ Lord of your life to be saved. Paul's gospel says, trust Christ died for your sins and rose again. And that's it. You don't do anything else. You don't lift a finger. You just trust Christ alone. Paul's message of once saved, always saved, that we are eternally secure in Christ, is spoken against in the church. Paul's message of one glorious spiritual baptism, which identifies us with our Savior, is twisted, changed, to conform to the traditions of man. Paul's message of the church being caught away, raptured to heaven before the 7-year tribulation ever begins, is attacked, denied, spoken against, and people believe others more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And the church as a whole, and this dispensation, has done what the centurion did. They believe something else, someone else, more than those things spoken by Paul. As a result, the church has put themselves under the requirements, promises, and legalism of previous dispensations. The church has mixed law and grace. Israel's earthly hope is mixed with our heavenly hope, and everything becomes a convoluted mess and resulted in denominations of all kinds because the church has not trusted and obeyed the things spoken by Paul. Notice too in verse 12 that the more part advised to depart thence. When it went to a vote about whether to stay in Fair Havens or to try for Phoenix to winter there, the more part advised to depart. This is another thing in this account that has happened in the church of this dispensation. The church has followed the more part rather than Paul. The more part disagreed with Paul, and the majority in the church has not followed Paul. But there's comfort. There's confidence in following the majority. But the majority is often wrong. As our Lord said about salvation, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And as we learn by what happens in this chapter, the majority is often wrong. The lesson here is that we need to listen to Paul. Listen to the message committed to him by the risen, exalted Lord Jesus Christ, rather than follow the majority who are living for a hope, for calling, for truth and promises that is not theirs. And notice how the more part advised to depart. That's what's happened in the dispensation of grace. Instead of keeping the faith, holding on to the truth of the revelation of the mystery committed to Paul, the more part has chosen to not listen to Paul and to depart from the faith committed to him, and they have left the truth of grace for today. As Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4 teaches, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. After encouraging Timothy to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, telling him that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us, Paul reminded Timothy, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Paul warned the church that people would depart from the faith, that they would turn away from the truth, and that the majority would turn away from Paul. And the majority, the more part, has decided to depart and to not follow the wisdom of Paul's epistles and what Paul says for the church to do under this dispensation, as was revealed to him by Christ. 1 Timothy 1:19 reads, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." If you don't hold the faith, you end up in spiritual shipwreck, just like you learn about the church in Acts chapter 27. Acts 27:13-17 reads, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven." When they first embarked from Fair Havens to go to Phoenice, it seemed like the right decision was made. As the weather changed, a gentle south wind began to blow, which was just what they needed. The men on the ship were probably ribbing Paul, telling him how wrong he was as they pulled away from the harbor in Fair Havens. The wind had been contrary. Now the wind was calm and blew softly. A warm breeze was blowing from the south. And again, remember, that wind speaks to the power of the air, or Satan. When they went against Paul and did not follow his wisdom, at first, there was smooth sailing. There's no opposition or fighting by the powers of darkness against this decision to not follow Paul in this age of grace. This nice south wind continued only for a time, though, just long enough until they were far enough away from safety. And then that soft wind became a driving wind, and Paul was proved right and shown to have spoken the truth. But now they were caught out on the open seas. The word translated tempestuous gives us the English word typhoon. Sailors called this wind Euryclidon, meaning a northeasterner. The wind that suddenly swept down on them was of typhoon force, a hurricane-like wind. They could not steer or control the ship, so they had to give way and let the ship drift and be driven by the wind. The wind drove the ship 23 miles to the southwest, where they narrowly missed being driven into the island of Clauda underneath Crete. And that had to be a harrowing experience to miss that island. They are now in a position in which they have no control. They are at the mercy of the storm. They had put themselves in this position by their own choice, and Satan had also tricked them into this position. It's a picture of how the church chose to depart from Paul and has also been tricked by the wiles of the devil. And the church has been in this great storm ever since because they have not followed Paul. They have not followed Christ's instructions for his church for this dispensation. The ship was now caught by the wind and the waves. And many in the church have been caught and taken captive by the devil at his will and have followed unsound doctrine and false teaching as a result of it. Once they cleared the island and were south of Clauda and under the shelter of land, they used the temporary and comparative calm to attend to some important matters. And the first was to get the skiff, the small lifeboat being towed behind, hauled onto the ship. The weather had been so deceiving at first that they had the lifeboat in the water being pulled behind. For them to put it out in the first place showed that they did not believe Paul's warning. Now they had to pull it in during the storm. They had to pull it in lest they lose it, or lest it be driven against the ship in the storm and cause damage to the ship. Luke uses the word "we" with the hauling in of this boat, showing that Luke helped in this, and probably Paul and Aristarchus too. As can be imagined, in a stormy sea, the task of hoisting the skiff aboard was not easily done. As Luke says in verse 16, we had much work. But that tells you that those who follow Paul, those who rightly divide the word of truth, those who see the dispensation of grace, it reminds us of the much work we need to do to help the church in the midst of the storm of this dispensation. And it pictures that we need to work together, because the church is all about we and not me. It's us working together for His glory. The sailors also strengthened the hull using helps, which would have been heavy ropes, chains, or cables that were used to literally tie the vessel together to keep it seaworthy and to prevent it from going to pieces. And Luke points out that they, or the sailors, the ones with the expertise, did this. And they also strake sail to avoid being driven onto the quicksands or the North African coast around Libya, which was a graveyard of many ships at that time. It says that they were fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. And that's what's happened in the stormy voyage of this dispensation, that the church is led and driven by fear. And that's a result of not following or listening to Paul. When we do follow the truths for this dispensation of grace, we learn that it is the grace of God, the love of Christ, and gratitude that is to drive the church forward for Christ. When it says that they strake sail, it literally means they lowered the gear. As they lowered some of the sails, including the great mainsail and any higher sails, and then they set storm sails to help keep the ship steady and keep the ship away from the African sandbars. The storm had hit so suddenly they didn't have time to put them down before, and the storm raged on. Join us next time when we'll look at the conclusion of Paul's stormy voyage to Rome and the truths we learn from it about this current age.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.